I'm calling, but I don't have good news.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right. It's pretty crappy. It's less than one, which means that it's negative.
Okay.
So stop everything. And I'm going to have Dr. Wambach to kind of follow up with you, okay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, honey. Okay. You're welcome, sweetie. Okay, bye-bye.
To me, there's like a thin line between positive thinking and denial. And I feel like I like to talk about the denial and what I'm authentically feeling. And sometimes I think Isaac prefers to optimistically and positively be sure that something great's going to work out.
Babe, it's not good news.
Oh, honey. The nurse called you?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Me too. She's Dr. Wambach will call, but I just don't know what else to say or do.
Did they say
she didn't say anything else?
Okay. Okay. If it's I'm fully prepared to go again if you're up for it.
I can't even think about that right now.
Okay. Want me to come home right now?
No, it's okay.
You've been unbelievable.
I just can't believe it. I don't understand, you know? I mean, I just feel like if this isn't it, then there's nothing else we can do. This was like everything. Every possible thing we could do. Other than it was using embryos from the last round.
I'm just saying, I mean, if you take the time you want, but if it didn't take on this one and you don't have any cysts and we can just go again, I think we should just go again.
Yeah, I know.
And that could be as soon as 2 weeks when it's Christmas and we're here.
No, babe, it's not going to be in 2 weeks. It'd be minimum 3.
Right.
And I don't know, like, I don't even know if it's possible to go that fast, to be honest.
Right.
They would probably put me on the pill again for 10 days. I don't know.
Oh, love, I'm heartbroken.
I just can't believe it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think one of the hardest things about this journey is what happens when there's no good reason to be optimistic anymore. When, you know, you're just sitting in the shit of it. When you're told you're probably not going to have kids.
And as we continue to build our home, Abby, I promise I will love you and I look forward to a life of love and warmth and love and children.
Isaac and I started trying to have babies a little before two years into our marriage.
We decided to start trying for a family on a trip to Italy. I remember when it was like time to be like, okay, we're going to pull the goalie and start trying. First of all, I was certain on the way back that we were pregnant. Second of all, I was totally terrified that's what would happen.
Therefore, I know that you will both be happy. And you will both be leading a Jewish life for yourselves, for your families, and for your future children. Mazel tov.
I actually think this is something that, and I realize how there are elements of our heritage and our religion in this podcast, you know, and talking about being Jewish, and we talk about Rosh Hashanah and mikvah and some of these things while we're not that religious people necessarily. But there is something, I think, to the fact that Abby and I are both Jewish, at least I'll speak for me, that having a biological child is an important thing to me if we're going to do it. We are both, not directly, Abby more so than me, descendants of families who survived the Holocaust and survived other pogroms and tribulations along the way, and that we're both part of a very, very small group of people that probably has no earthly reason like being alive on the planet anymore. Because for me, what we celebrated when we got married was like survival and the passing down potentially of our heritage. And if that line is going to end with me, that would really shake me up. For me, I lead with reproducing.
Yeah, I think that for you, it's more cerebral in that way. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's much more, I want to be a mother.
The first time I got pregnant, we ended up miscarrying. But it was like from the minute I got pregnant, it was concerning. Like the numbers weren't great, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember somebody saying, it was my stepfather, said, so were you worried? And I said, yeah. And he was like, welcome to parenthood.
Once you head down this road, I couldn't stop. I always had a gut feeling that it was going to work. And I hate saying that, but it's true. And I knew if there became a point where I stopped feeling that gut feeling, it was time to stop fertility treatment.
Because I cannot possibly explain. Like, I went through, I mean, the failed transfers, the miscarriage at 8 weeks. You're making normal embryos.
Unexplained infertility feels like a disease. It feels like something you wake up with and go to sleep with every day that needs medical attention sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Like, it has flare-ups or not flare-ups. But in your heart, you're dealing with it every minute of every day. When we started infertility treatment, we really weren't talking about it with hardly anyone because we assumed it would work really quickly and we'd get to give the surprise of we're pregnant.
So what were you hoping, that we'd have two viables?
Yeah, I was hoping she'd be like, it's a miracle. All three of the tested ones tested normal and like you're so lucky and you have two girls and a boy. So now you have three boys and two girls on ice plus two untested, and you can have the biggest family you want. No problem.
Yeah, the fucking Brady Bunch.
I don't think we definitely didn't tell people when we started trying for the first year or two. I mean, without science. But then it was really hard. We had to let people in. I remember the first person I told was my mom. Not a surprise. She wanted to take a trip to, I think, Costa Rica. My mom's a real planner. So, or maybe Africa. I don't know. Somewhere crazy and probably awesome. And she wanted to plan it for like 14 months away or something. And I just remember like we had been trying over a year at that point. I think we had met with a doctor but hadn't moved forward with fertility treatment. And I had to tell her, we really can't make any plans because we're doing infertility treatment. And I broke down within like 2 seconds. Then we told your parents. And I think we're close with our parents, so letting them in felt really good to me.
Yeah, and then it got easier.
And then oddly, there became a point where it became bad again when we had finally told everyone and then people didn't talk to us about it. You know?
Right.
It's like you can't win. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. I don't remember when's the last time we rolled?
It's been at least a week.
Did we talk about, the eggs? Okay, I remember now. Oh, man. I just feel like we've been having a lot of thoughts and feelings and not talking about them publicly. I do feel like competition is a less obvious emotion that's been brought out by this. Like, to find out someone's on their third kid before I've had my one makes me crazy inside. And I'm like, and they're 7 years older or younger or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I'm a competitive person, so that's hard for me. On the plus side, and Isaac says this to me and about me all the time, and I love you and appreciate you for it, but still sometimes forget, like, I think resilience is not something one strives for. In life, I don't think it's something you think about being or doing or behaving. And I think sometimes you don't know whether you're a resilient person until you're under circumstances. And because, Isaac, you've told me so many times how resilient I am, I do think you're right. And I think that is something I learned about myself that I did not know.
Can I just say that knowing that I'm going to do a sympathy shot all of a sudden, I can't believe that you do this every day. I'm not... gonna do. I'm talking us out of me doing this sympathy shot.
Well, it's not. You're not gonna talk yourself out.
There were moments for me. There are moments for me where just being the two of us sounds great. But they're few and far between, not because it doesn't sound great as a life, but because after everything we've gone through and go through, I'm scared to live in like a constant state of disappointment and sadness that we didn't get what we wanted. There was always for me a reason to keep going. And I had thought about, it's funny, I had thought about adoption and surrogacy. I had never thought about egg donor because at the time we didn't think that we needed to. And you and I had different thoughts and feelings on all of those things.
I did stick to the, well, you know, we'd love to have children together, but I think that if we are unable to, we're going to have a very good, fulfilling, happy life. So I was, that still remained my mantra. I am still, maybe this is why we're not there yet, but I'm still okay if it's just you and me. I'm still okay if it's just you and me.
I hate saying validation, but I do think a lot of women especially only feel validated if they have a child because that's what their body was like given to them to do. For me, it's just more about being a mother. But I've thought about like, well, I'm lucky to have nieces. Will I feel like my relationship with them is enough? And it never feels like it will be. I think while I'm not at the adoption phase yet, it doesn't mean I would never consider adoption. And I do think if we adopted, I would be a kick-ass mother to that adopted kid. I don't think it'd be any different. But I'm not there yet. And for me, it's about just being a mother. So I feel like I take whatever I'm given and I'm like, what's the next thing I need to do to be a mother? You know?
And I want to say, I do think that the fertility journey has been driven by you, Abby, and you want to be a mother. And for me, this is what I, you know, signed up to support and do with you when we got married. And I feel that you are so supportive of me and everything I want to do and do so much to help me get where I want to go. If this is the thing that you need, this is what our marriage needs. So
it's funny. I think that men who say, thank you, that's so kind and supportive. And I believe you. But I think men who don't have children, that's what they say until they have children and they realize that they were meant for fatherhood. And like, if one person on this earth was meant to be a dad, it's my husband. Then like, I feel like part of the reason I soldier for both of us is because he doesn't know that yet. And I know that. So get your shit together.
I've never loved anybody more than all of you, and especially you.
Are we on right now?
We're rolling. Well, I played back our conversation from before and also your call with our doctor.
How did our conversation go? Could you hear it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
From
when I was like, babe, it's not good news?
This sounds smug. I think that we're... I'm just really proud of the marriage that we have.
Thanks, why? I mean, what?
I heard you tell me and I heard my talking to you and I just know that we really love each other.
After I got off the phone with our doctor today, I was like, I'm just going to turn the TV on and watch something stupid. The first thing I picked that was on was Grey's Anatomy. And I swear to God, it was a scene with two women who are married in the show about to flip a coin to see which of them would carry their baby.
Wow.
So then I changed the channel and it was the Kardashians. And it was the episode where Kim is potentially having an issue with her surrogate after her embryo did not implant. And then I changed it again. And I don't even remember what the third thing was, but it was, something where the first line was like, of course some so-and-so had to have in vitro. No man would touch her with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
And it's like, at first I was like, oh, I never want to be that person. It's like so sensitive to all. But that is insane. Those are three in a row.
You've been so resilient. I feel like before this, I was like,
if this doesn't work this time, I need to like go on some like soul quest, you know? Of like, am I not meant to be a mom?
Oh, sweetie.
Which is not how I feel. I do feel I'm meant to be a mom, but like, what is the universe telling me right now?
The universe is not telling you about its thoughts.
Whatever, then my uterus, if not my uterus, not the universe. I mean... either the physical or the metaphysical. Like, I don't know.
So we're doing a lining check today.
Yeah. Okay?
We're just making sure your uterus is nice and ready.
Okay.
Once it's nice and ready, we already did a mock cycle, right?
Yes.
That was in March, right? So mm-hmm. in March, we did a mock cycle to kind of fine-tune and know exactly when to drop off the embryo, okay? Mm-hmm. So in a similar fashion right now, we're just following that mock cycle. When your lining is nice and thick, great, we'll start you on the progesterone. We'll follow what we learned from the mock cycle. That way, we can time the transfer as perfectly as possible.
Got it.
How many embryos do we have in the freezer?
So we have four.
Okay, good.
Two from the first time we retrieved, not with you guys. Okay. Two from this time.
Okay.
So. Well, I talked to Dr. Wambach about which two we're using. Okay.
Tested embryos, right?
Well, two are tested, two are not. Okay. So she wants to do...
The two that are tested are from here or from here?
One from each.
Got it. Okay.
We got a whole cocktail mix of things.
Okay.
So she was saying that she wants to do one non-tested from this most recent round in October, okay. which I don't remember what the quality was.
So this was not strong enough to be tested with the female.
Right.
Okay.
And then...
See here, it looks like...
It's like a BC. Okay. Yeah. And then the last tested one from our old doctor.
Okay.
But there is... I'm just a little... I guess, confused, concerned, just want to talk about why we wouldn't use the most recent tested one, because that one we kind of talked about was like our best case scenario one. So I don't know if we're saving that because, you know, she wants to talk about surrogacy and we want to save a better one for surrogacy, but then why are we even putting the other ones in? So I'm, you know what I mean?
Yep, exactly. Okay, so we have two that are tested in normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I see the grading here.
Mm-hmm.
One's an AB,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is also an AB.
Mm-hmm.
Grading-wise, they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when it comes to, prior to the days of testing, we used to just go by grading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so without knowing the grades, without knowing the normality.
You would know the grading without testing?
We would know the grading without.
Okay.
Grading is just how they look under the microscope.
Okay.
So without knowing the results of which one's normal and not normal, we would just go by the grading, and the AB is very good.
So you'd pick an AB regardless.
You got it.
Okay. So the only difference then between the two is that the first AB has already been thawed once.
Correct.
So she was saying, what if the problem is that we're the thawed twice ones, because that's what we just put in that didn't take, blah, blah, blah.
That's right. So that's why then kind of the choice between taking the one that's already been thawed twice versus taking the one that, will be thawed once.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
sense? Right.
We know that embryos can be thawed twice and still result in beautiful, healthy babies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Almost every combination of embryos has not worked.
Right.
So then I'm like, well, why would we put in one that has been thawed twice when we have one that hasn't? But you're saying it doesn't really matter.
That the risk is probably very low.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, when our freezing process was called slow freeze,
mm-hmm.
kind of like the way we freeze, kind of what we freeze in our freezer, mm-hmm. right? It's a very slow process, right? It takes a while. So, the analogy is that in the old days when we froze embryos the slow freeze way, survival is about 75%. So you might thaw four embryos and lose one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These days with vitrification, which is the way your embryos are frozen now, they're very rapid flash freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And the survival is over 90%.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And I think the most recent kind of QA meeting we had, their survival is about 95 to 98%. So the reality is that the risk of the thaw and the freezing of these embryos is very low these days with vitrification.
Okay.
Okay.
I read an article on how you did that a baby was born by a 25-year-old embryo.
Yes.
25
that's right.
Years.
Yeah. That's slow freeze.
Yeah.
So that was the old freezing process. Mm-hmm. Your embryos are frozen kind of the newer way. Mm-hmm. Right? So the survival on it should be very good. Strong. Yeah.
So you think that choice is pretty good? Yeah. I think that's everything.
Okay. No problem. Ask us anything, okay?
Thank you.
Wombach, myself, Rosen, we're all here for you.
Thank you.
And will you know which one succeeded or no?
No.
Yeah, we will know only because the tested ones are all boys. Okay. So the only way we'll know is if we get a girl.
Yes, that's right. Right. But if
but seeing as he seems to only make boys, I don't know that we'll ever know. So
it'll be hard to know. unless, of course, it's the other gender. That's right.
Right.
Okay. And again, there's a 20-30% that both could stick.
Right. Okay. Which would be so weird because really they're not the same age even. One's a year older. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So it'll be twins kind of separated.
Yeah.
But no, we'll be very blessed when you get the good news.
Thank you.
One or two.
I'll take what I can get. Yeah.
Reference is one.
I know. Of course.
You're pregnant.
Of course.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Wong. So I hope you have a really good vacation.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you. We'll see you next week.
Yes. One way or another.
Wombach, she'll be back by
Yes.
Then. So we'll schedule it so that she
Oh, I know her whole schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Poor thing. I'm like, you're back today. She's like single white female. Thank you, Dr. Wong.
We'll get dressed. We'll see
how okay.
everything ready.
Thank you.
And a quick blood test, okay?
Yep. Cool. All
right. So do you feel okay about going that way?
Totally. Do you?
He's so sweet. All right. So that's the plan. Cut.